All right, let's get going. Welcome to the visitors as well. Been praying a lot this morning, but we're going to get rolling now. Worship was amazing. I enjoyed it. I trust you also enjoyed it. God is raising up a standard, which is amazing. Thank you, Warren, for coming all the way from Richards Bay. It's really amazing to have that as well. He's just willing to drive all the way here to come and serve us, which is really precious. Thank you for the other worship band members as well. And for every setup person, every person that's praying, every person that's helping with hospitality, every person that's helping on a Sunday sound. Guys, you're amazing. Without this, we won't be able to do this, and lives won't be able to change. So God is amazing, and He works through a family. It takes a family to raise a child, it says, and it's the same in the church. It takes a family for us to grow together. We all need each other. Okay, let's quickly get to our sermon series. We're doing a sermon on commissioned by the King. We started 2 weeks ago. I spoke about before we get commissioned by God, because we live in a kind of a proactive society, you know, purpose-driven communities in this world. And often when we come to God, we want to kind of do the same we do in our lives. We want to have like a career plan. We want to do things. We want to do great things for God. But often we kind of miss, you know, what it's all about. And God first calls us to Himself. You know, that's kind of what our sermon series, the basis of it is. God wants us to do great things. And Scripture says, the one Scripture we're using a lot is the one in Daniel 11. It says, but my people will know their God and they will do great exploits. But for us to know God and do great exploits is a place where we first need to come to Him. And I spoke about doing things from a place of peace. Those who are weary and hard-pressed and tired, come to me and I will give you rest. So God wants us to first enter His rest. And He wants us to do things from that, from a place of rest. And I don't know about you, but for me it's a difficult wrestling match. I'm a bit of a type personality. I like to run with things. I like to run up mountains, plan things, execute things. I like to be busy. So often I do the right things, but I don't do it from a place of rest. I start to get into a place of striving, doing things for God. And that's a place where God is teaching me to slow down sometimes. Not necessarily getting less done, but doing place from a place of rest. Doing things from a place of just trusting Him that He's in control. And He still has a plan, and He's still executing His plan. Even if I can do less, even if I'm not feeling so up to the task every day. And you can go and catch up on that on the website. It's from a place of rest. I think Marichen spoke last week about love, commission to love. So you can also catch up on that. It's important to make sure everything we do is based on love. And what is real love? How do we define love? And obviously, there's a lot of ways the world defines love. So it's important for us to just get to the basis of what does loving God mean and what does loving one another mean. So I'll touch a bit on that next week again. But today I just wanted to speak about being drawn to the King. And I believe for us to do anything significant by God is not just doing things because we know we should do it, not just doing things from a place of seeing it necessarily in Scripture, but doing things from a place which is based on a relationship. If I know God has told me to do something, I can do great things. I don't know about you, but if something I shared it 2 weeks ago, if something motivates me, I can do great things. And it's like I shared a small group as well on Wednesday. You know, for me to do something for God has got a lot of merit if there's reward in that. So for me, I like running up mountains. You know, it's one of my favorite things to do. And it's not necessarily the running itself that's so amazing. I just love being up there in the mountain. So there's a reward, and that reward gets me to run up a mountain. You know, and it's the same with God. If He commissions us, there's a reward in the fact that there's a relationship that backs it all up. There's somebody that said it, somebody that called me to do it, somebody that's commissioned me into that next thing, and that thing can keep me going through a lot of difficulties and got a lot of easy things. And it can keep me doing the path, you know. You can do the most impossible things if God has told you to do it. You know, if I have to tell somebody, if I have to tell Duty, she needs to go and pray every morning in the street corner for the next 2 years, it's very unlikely she'll do it. But if God motivates her and tells her and He encourages her, and she knows He is standing there with her, then it's very likely it might happen. So that's where we want to come to today. You know, I want us to get away from the place where we're heavily burdened, like I shared 2 weeks ago, and where God's burden becomes our burden. He says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And I believe it doesn't mean God is calling us to do nothing or just to do easy tasks. I think it's actually the opposite. God is calling us to do great things. But when He burdens us to do great things, it's a light burden. And His yoke becomes easy. You know, often when I feel very depressed or overcome or discouraged by a situation, and I go back to God, you know, it's sometimes amazing how God can revive me. He can just get me in a moment. When I just meet with Him and I just get a word from Him, suddenly that thing is not so heavy anymore. Suddenly that thing is not so tough anymore. Suddenly it just breaks that heaviness, that breaks that yoke, because I know He's commissioned me. An amazing thing is, even as I'm speaking this morning, I believe it's something that needs to happen on a consistent basis. You know, we need to be drawn to God on a consistent basis. It doesn't help to go to God once and then go and execute things. And there's truth in that. God is calling us to assignments. What I'm going to share a bit about it today is, it's like I shared the first week, is God wants to do it with us. God wants to draw us closer every day. And the Bible also speaks about us drawing close to God. Once we learned that He's the one that's drawn us first, then we can love Him. Then we can draw close to Him. You know, when we mature, we come to a place where we know God doesn't just draw us. We can actually go to that place where He encourages us. We can, through a disciplined way of living with God, a disciplined way of relating to Him, and just making sure that we get encouraged by Him, we can go to Him for that encouragement. We can go to God to give us that word in season to get us going again. Okay, I've got a quote here from A.W. Tozer. It's quite a cool one. It says, Christianity is a gateway into God. And then when you get into God, with Christ in God, then you're on a journey into infinity, into infinitude. There is no limit and no place to stop. There isn't just one work of grace or a second work or a third work and then that's it. There are numberless experiences and spiritual epochs and crises that can take place in your life while you are journeying into the heart of God in Christ. I love what he's saying, because he says God has, in a sense, designed life to draw us to Himself. And even when we go through our crises, even when we go through life, even when we experience things that are great or not so great, even if we experience obedience and setbacks, etc., all of those things are, in a sense, designed, the positives and the negatives, the depths and the heights and the lows of life are experienced, are designed by God to draw us closer to Him. We see it in the life of Christ. You know, when Satan was doing his greatest feat, then God had his greatest victory. Often when we think we're going through the hectic defeat, it's often the time when God is working his greatest victories in our lives. And he's actually drawing us through those things. So it's not just a journey in life of knowing about the King. It's not just an information journey. It's not just knowing who our God is. It's our God calling us to himself. He wants us to know him intimately. A call is in him and by him. God is calling us into himself and anyone to work out the commission, the call, the purpose for our lives. He wants to work it out together with us. He wants to walk the journey with us. So I want to look at a few things, how God draws us. And I just think it's relevant to our lives to see how God draws us to himself. And there's a way you might have a different experience to me of how you got saved. All of us have maybe different experiences, how God first drew you. Maybe we're at a desperate place. Maybe you're at a place of needing friendships, and God drew you through friendships. Maybe you just looked at nature. The Bible says nature exudes something about God's glory. And I'm going to look at those things today. And I want us to not just look at those things as an initial drawing. What I want us to get back is the same I said 2 weeks ago. God wants us to remain in that place of peace. He wants to repeat that place where we're driven by the Spirit. Maybe we don't get into our soul realm, trying to make sense of things, but getting back to the place where He draws us by the Spirit. And the same at this time, when we talk about being drawn to God, sometimes we get into a tough place in our lives. I don't know about you, but when we follow God, then sometimes it seems like things get more hectic. But actually, God has actually got a method in that. He wants us to learn to be disciplined and drawing close to Him. Learn to be disciplined to receive His drawing, to respond to His drawing. Are you guys with me this morning? So I'm going to share a few things. I'm also working through it, which is good. But I think it's important to just see how God works from the beginning. So I'm going to start where I left off 2 weeks ago, just with Matthew 11. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So that's really, just to summarize it, and I preach a whole sermon about it. But we are all restless in a sense before we come to God. We cannot find rest, soul's rest, complete rest in anybody else but in the Father. The Bible says Jesus sent the Son to draw us to the Father. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. And I'm going to share a bit about that later. But unless we come into the Father's embrace, unless we come to the Father's love, know His love, we cannot actually come to rest. So I think it's the reason why many of us come to Christ. Our lives are maybe in a place of torment, life around us have happened. Maybe we've gone to hectic trauma. And you cannot find rest in the things in this world. You can find consolers maybe. You can find symptomatic alleviance of how you feel maybe or what you've been through. But true rest for your soul, where you come to the anchor of your soul, where you come to the perfect place of rest, it's only Jesus that offers that. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why I came to Christ. My life was hectic. I remember when I was still unsaved and I was studying, before every exam, I almost died. Because my life depended on just getting a career. You know, I just wanted to have a career, wanted to get my degree, wanted to make some money. You know, wanted a lot of stuff that I thought would give me a sense of security. So I thought, if I fail this exam, I'm going to die. Because then, how am I going to get forward? And there was actually a lot of other things involved as well. I knew if I wasn't going to pass the exam, I wouldn't have funds for the next year to study, etc. There was financial pressure and all kinds of things. So I was in a complete stress, and that you might identify with that today. Maybe there's some things that are pressing in on your life, that if it doesn't come past, then what then? What will happen? And God says, you are weary, you are burdened, you are tired, you who have no way out, come to me, and I will give you rest. And we can expand that, but God is really the maker of all things. He's the one that's in control. So if we can come to Him, then we can come to the one who is in control. And that can give us peace. I'm not in control, but my life is in the hands of the one who is in control. And that's a good reason to come to Christ. It helped me a lot. You know, these days when I'm faced with some Sunday mornings, I say, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this today. I don't know how I'm going to preach. And for me, it's an intimidating thing. Some people enjoy it. I don't enjoy it necessarily standing in front of people. But I'm saying, God, you know all things, and you've called me to it. So I'm trusting you. If I make a mess of it, you're still going to be there at the end of it. That's actually the only way I can do something like this. Because even if I mess it up completely, God will still be there. he won't forsake me. He won't fail me. And he is a solid rock. And that is the amazing thing we can take through our lives. You know, even if we do things for God or do great things, or want to do great things, that's the only thing that's going to motivate us to actually do things that are greater than ourselves. Because if you're going to do great things for God, there's a big chance of massive failure. I don't know, if you don't take risks, there's nothing that can fail. And the only way we can take risks from a place of security, a place in where we can find peace, is when we take a risk in Christ. Because then we can fail, and we can still find rest for our souls. Because He's still going to be there. When all things fail, He's going to be just there. The Bible says, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth extends forevermore. So He's going to stay the same. He's always going to be merciful. And His truth will never, He's never going to change. In that, I can find security. I can find rest. Come to me and find rest for your soul. So that is the way that God draws us. Let go of your labors. Let go of your fears. Come to me. Just let it go. Just let it go. And for me, it's, like I say, it's not an easy thing. It's a journey. I must say the first time I had to preach, it was probably 2010. I just use this as an analogy because it's what I'm doing now. It's like I was in Congo on a mission, and the pastor just told me to preach. You know, he just gave me the microphone, and I was like, I prepared one little sermon, and I almost died. I literally almost died. Thankfully, it wasn't Congo, so nobody would remember. Oh, Marichna was actually there. But before that mission, I said to God, I'll do anything you want me to do. you know. That's a dangerous thing to say sometimes. So then I think, I don't know how many times I preached on that mission, but after that mission I think I was almost dead. So I preached like every day and stuff. But so God takes us to overcome our fears. You know, sometimes he will take you into your worst fear because he wants to give you rest in that thing. And often the thing that you fear the most is probably the thing that God wants you to overcome with him. Because if you can do that, then nothing else will intimidate you. Okay, the second one. So the first one is drawn by his peace. Second one is just drawn by his son. And often, you know, when we come to God and we have like an idea of what God is like, you know, a lot of people say that God is the same God of all kinds of different religions. But what I find is the thing that draws me to him is getting to know who God really is. And that is really amazing when we think of what God has left behind for us in the narrative of Scripture. And just the story of his own son coming to earth. And we get that in Hebrews 1:1-4. It's a powerful scripture. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in the last days, he's spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed to be heir of all things, through whom he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So there's two things here. It says that he is the exact imprint and the radiance of the Father. And then secondly, it says he inherited the name. And the real meaning there is that he is, in a sense, inherited what the Father is. He is like the Father. So for us to be drawn to God means being drawn to the Son. The Bible says the Spirit draws us to the Son, and the Son draws us to the Father. If you've seen me, Jesus says, you've seen the Father. So one of the things that really draws me to the Father is if I read Scripture, if I go through the Gospels, the four Gospels, just reading through it, I can see something of the Father. If I see Jesus healing people, I just see something of the Father's compassion. Wherever he goes, he dealt with whatever is hindering the kingdom. You know, he healed the sick. So it's like this morning, whatever is keeping people, God wants to come into that place. He wants to resurrect the dead. That's what Jesus does. That's what he does well. So wherever he went, he healed and he delivered and he set free. And you can learn a lot of who the Father is by just reading the Gospels. And God is really, maybe you came to Christ because of something that God revealed to you about himself in the Gospels. And that's how God draws us. Draws us through his nature. And we can actually know, we cannot know everything about the Father. We cannot know everything about his glory. We will search for that for eternity. The Bible says we will worship him because we will see one shade of his glory upon another for eternity. But one thing we can know, what he's like. Isn't that amazing? We cannot know all of his glory and all of his splendor and all of his creativity. It will take us for eternity to eternity to eternity. But one thing we can know is we can know what he's like. So the Father wants to draw us through what he's like. He's a loving Father. He's a Father that gives good gifts, the Bible says. He is a Father that gets involved. He's a Father that walks into our lives. He became man. He came to dwell amongst us. So what I see out of that as I read the Gospel is I see he's a Father that doesn't just want to look at us from afar. He wants to get involved. He wants to be a friend. You know, I see it with Moses. In Moses' life, his whole hankering for the whole of Israel is he wanted to be a father that was intimately known by the nation of Israel. He wanted to be a father of that nation. You know, all those things are something about who the Father is. And I see that through the life of Jesus. The Father came to make manifest his heart through the Son. And you know, we can go into all of this, but what I want to encourage you today is often when we read Scriptures, we read it for the promise. You know, I want to find promises for my life and I want to get on with life. But one of the things we seldom do is we don't just read Scripture to know him. We don't just read through Scripture because I want to know him. You know, a good preacher I was listening to recently, he was saying, when you read the Bible, we read it with all kinds of ways, all kinds of styles. But he says one of the best ways to read the Bible is like we read a newspaper. You know, how do I read a newspaper? It's to know something, to know about something. You know, so we make it maybe a massive study of the Bible, and that's also good in its place. But do we just read the Bible to know Jesus? Do we just read the Bible because it's fun? Do we read the Bible like we would go to a movie? Who of you have gone to a movie in the last year, 2 years? Who's gone to a movie? Put up your hands. Why do you go and watch a movie? Because you enjoy it. You know, who's watched 2 movies in the last year? Okay. So to read through the 4 Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John would take you the same time as watching 2 movies. They say it will take you 4 hours on average. So how often do we read just the Bible to get to know Jesus? How often we just read the Gospels to just know him? And often when we get to know him, we'll find the promises in there. We'll find who he is, what he wants to do, and he will draw us. I often read the scripture just to get encouraged by who Jesus is. Who does that? Just read the scripture to encourage who Jesus is. When I read the scripture, I see, oh, the disciples went through the same things. And Jesus comforted them in it. Then it's like Jesus comforting me in the same situation. So it's like a lifeblood to me. God draws me through his son in the scriptures. So this year, make a point of it. One of our problems in the culture we're living is we are highly sensitized, we are highly stimulated in our senses. We've got 120,000 distractions. I know in my own life as well, when I wake up in the morning, just in the normal things, I'm distracted. But then when social media gets involved, we are seriously distracted. And we often are so distracted that we cannot do basic Bible reading. So I want to encourage you, set a time aside where you just get out of the distractions. That's the biggest battle you probably have to fight. Get out of the distractions. Get out of the distractions and get drawn by him. Get to know who Jesus is. We went to the Drakensberg last week, and it's just amazing when you're out there in nature, there's so very little distractions around you. And then it's easy to read the word and just get into it. So make ways, plan things. Sometimes you need to plan to get out. You need to get out of your circumstances. Sometimes you need to plan to get a babysitter for those who are families. You need to plan a way so you can spend time. What I do is I go for a run. That's my way to get out of the house. And I got a set of earphones. I can listen to an hour of scripture while I'm running. So it's I'm doing 2 things at the same time. It's not time wasted. I'm getting into God's word. So you can even do the things you enjoy. Go to the movie and put some earphones in and listen to scripture. Okay, the next one is drawn by his beauty. Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord a glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. It speaks something about God's just holiness, his beauty. This is revealed through who he is. And one of the ways, obviously, that God reveals his splendor is through nature. In Romans 1, it says all of us have seen the glory of God through the things that are created. All of us, through the splendor of just the beauty of things around us. And that obviously can be applied to other things as well. But one of the things I want to focus on here is Romans 1. It says none of us have an excuse because we all have seen the glory of God. And inside our hearts, I don't know about you, but our hearts are drawn to beauty. Who of you is drawn to beauty when you see beauty around you? You see a beautiful car, you see nature, when I see my wife. You know, I'm drawn to it. You know, and that's something that God has put in there. But God has actually given us the appetite to be drawn to something that's perfect. You know, there's something in us that's hungering for perfect beauty. And you know, God made us to dwell in perfect beauty. That's what Eden was like, the Garden of Eden. They dwelt in God's perfect presence in a perfect creation. So there's something inside of us that are hungering for that. Something inside of us that know that God is the creator of all of those things. So God is drawing us through the things that we see. And obviously what's happened with nature is that it has become defiled because of sin. There is brokenness. We see some brokenness around us. We see brokenness in people. You know, God has made us. Adam and Eve was perfect. They were without sin. They were without disease. They were without any negative thing in terms of scripture. They were without any blemish before they sinned. Sin brought all of those things. So inside of us, there's a yearning for something greater. And God is giving us kind of a shadow of that when we look at things around us. When I look at a human being, what do you see when you see it at something that God created? An animal, a beautiful animal. When you look at a mountain, sometimes what happens is our world becomes so distorted because of all the things we've created. You know, when we see a beautiful car, we get focused on those things, that man-made thing. But when last have you looked at your friend and said to God, how amazing is that eye that you created? When I look at my kids, I say, God, it's like, I sometimes just spend time looking at them, you know? Because we like to look at a beautiful car and, you know, the world is about that. But, you know, a car or whatever, a house compared to the things God has made is nothing. Nothing. We cannot even touch what God's creativity can do. And one of the things I like to do is get out in nature. It's one of the reasons why I also run. I like to run in the mountains. Because when I'm out there, I don't see all the other things. I just see what God has done. And then I'm amazed by who God is. And I hear the birds and I hear the great things God has. There's so many aspects of what God has created that we can appreciate with our senses. And in eternity, God says it's going to be a perfect heaven. So God calls us also to desire that which is going to be in eternity. There's a good thing to desire that perfection, as long as we just hold on to the one that's the root to it, the one that's the pathway to it. So God draws us to himself through the things, the splendor and the glory of the things he has designed, the things he has made, he has created. So, you know, when I was younger, I was trained in engineering. I would spend a lot of time just looking at creative things, you know. I liked cars and motorbikes and, you know, tractors would be amazing to me. But those things less and less actually is still amazing to me to look at. But compared to nature, compared to the beauty of God's creation and people, those things are paling more and more. Because I realize who God is and he's excellent. So don't get confused by the things you see around you. Look at that which is more excellent, which God has made. And allow him to draw you. We can learn a lot, by the way, from the things God has created. A lot of analogies in the Bible God uses as analogies from nature. It's like the farmer looks, you know, when it speaks about faith, it's like the farmer looking at the nature and then he sows his seeds and then he waits for the rain to come and then he waits for the things to grow, etc. So through that glory, we can see something amazing about where he's drawn by his presence. God draws us by his presence. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Matthew 14, verse 21 to 31. Often I've heard many ideas about stepping out of the boat. A lot of preachers preach on that. But for me, the central theme here is looking at Jesus. You know, look at Jesus. What motivated Peter to get out of the boat was seeing Jesus out there in the sea. And what got him to sink is losing sight of Jesus. So he was, in a sense, drawn to faith by seeing Christ out there. You know, and this is a simple teaching from that is, you know, if you want to get out of the boat, make sure you go where God is calling you. Don't just get out of any boat. Don't just do anything crazy because you want to see things. Get a word from God. Peter here says, God, if it's you. So it's like if you do something, want to do something crazy in your life for God, just ask him if it's God first. God, is it you that's calling me to do this? Get confirmation from him. And then go. Then go and do it. And then keep your eyes on him. It doesn't help you do something and your eyes doesn't, it wasn't initiated by your eyes in Jesus and it doesn't get pulled through. If your eyes in Jesus, you'll need to keep your eyes on him. Get drawn. Be where he is. And obviously, make sure he's already out there on the water. Make sure that he is there to catch you when you fall. Okay. You know, for some of us, that might mean many things. It might mean, you know, go into that relationship and say sorry. You know, trust God for the restoration of that relationship. Some of us, it might just mean getting into prayer routine, like I shared about duty, you know. If God calls you into a place, just go there with Jesus. And some of us, it might mean bringing a prophetic word on a Sunday. Allow Jesus to pull you into that place. Allow him to lead you on that place. For some of you, it might mean at your workplace to minister to somebody. Let Jesus pull you into that place. Let him draw you in there. Don't do it by yourself. Make sure you're aware of God's presence. Some of us, it might mean dancing before the King in your quiet time. He's drawing you to dance with him. Reino shared about that a few weeks ago. If he's drawing you to dance with him, you get out of the boat, you know? He's there to receive you. He's there to dance with you. Some of us, it might, you know, might mean many things. You know, start a business. You know, many things. But make sure God draws you into that thing. Don't just do it. Make sure you go with it, with Jesus. Let him draw you there. Isaiah 5 is 4. The next one. I made a mistake, yeah. Maker is your husband. I compiled this thing this morning and I had some problems with my PC. So I just want to see what's going on here. Let me just find my place again. Let me just go to the next one. Drawn by the Father. Number E there. But Jesus replied, and he said to them, stop complaining about what I said, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day I will raise them up, as it is written in scriptures, they will be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from me, him comes to me. I think that's one of the most important parts of all of this. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he says, I'm the way, I'm the truth and the life. It made a way for us back to the Father. And I don't know many of us, just to kind of conclude what Jesus is saying here is, it's a journey. And the journey ends with the Father. God doesn't just call us to Jesus. He calls us to the Father. And primarily, God is a Father. He's a Father that wants to take care of us. He's a Father that wants to adopt us. He's a Father that cares for us. And that's a transition that God wants to do in our lives. When we look at Jesus, when we look at the life of Jesus, when we look at the miracles, when we look at the death on the cross, the Bible says God so loved the world that he sent his son. He sent his chosen son. He sent his best. One way of translating it, he sent his best. So I'm drawn to the Father because what I see is done through the Son. For what I see, he is accomplished in history. And one of the things that is important when we think of a father, how do we relate to God if we relate to him as a father? We need to take the position of a son. One of the best ways we can be drawn to the Father is becoming like little children. Jesus says, don't hinder the little children, for such is the kingdom of God. And I sometimes wrestle with that scripture. So what does it mean, God? Must I be immature? How must I be? But God is drawing us like little children. And I thought about it yesterday again. I realized God also says we must be mature. We must be mature and not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But I believe the position that we need to take is the position of a son of a daughter. That's what it means. It says, God, you are my Father. You are the one that shows me the way. I make you my Father. So it's not in a sense becoming a child again. It's just remaining dependent on the Father. Does that make any sense? God wants us to remain dependent on him. He wants us to remain like children in his house for all of our days. And I think that's where a lot of the religious people in the day missed it. They knew everything, but they didn't know him as a father. They didn't relate to him as a father. And the Bible speaks about Israel, where God wanted them to become like a bride. And that's actually the previous scripture that I had there. There, Isaiah 5 is 54 verse 5 to 6 is two slides back. For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He's called the God of the whole earth, for the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken, grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife, when you refuse. So God is like that one that draws us, that calls us back to the Father. He in a sense wants to marry us, but he also wants us to become childlike. He wants us to become like sons and daughter, positioning ourselves before him, positioning ourselves before him as a son and daughter, becoming one of the things that happens when we get saved. The Bible says we call on him as Abba Father. Abba Father. And it's something that I practice often when I get to a place. I say, God, I'm dependent on you. God, I need you. You're my Abba. It's like a little child doesn't have a problem with calling his father dad. You know, when we get older, we might have problems with calling our parents dad, because maybe a lot of inhibitions or, you know, a lot of reasons. But when we're children, we call our fathers dad. We call him Abba. We call him daddy. We call your mother, mother. And that is in a sense what God is saying. I'm drawing you like a child. And that's why we must be like a child to inherit the kingdom, to come to the kingdom. Does that make sense this morning? Okay. And that means if we come to him as a father, a lot of things are different. When he draws us like a child, we need to let go of certain things in our lives. We need to let go of certain rights that we think we have to decide our lives. When you're a child, you go where the father goes. You live in the house of the father. The things that are the father's are yours. The things that are important to the father is important to you. So the big thing is independence. If we come to the father, we cannot come and remain independent. We must become dependent on him. And that's what the father is saying. I'm calling you. I'm calling you. I'm drawing you to myself. I want you. Jesus, just before he went to be crucified, he said, how I wish that Jerusalem would be like a chicks and would come under my wings. Like I want to be like a hen who brings the chicks under my wings. And that's a good picture of the Father drawing us. Jerusalem rejected God as a father. They wanted him to be a king and something political, but they didn't want him to be the king that has a father at his heart, that delivers them from the things of this world. Okay. So obviously, coming to God as a father is receiving the things, you know. Be allowing the Father to speak into your life like a father, allowing him to do the things that fathers do. When you think of a perfect father, then those things you must allow the Father to be to you. Allow him to draw you through those things. One of the things I would say is, you know, in the Old Testament, somebody yesterday said something that stuck with me. He said, God always encourages us to love. You know, and I agree with that 100%. God always draws us to love. But then he says, God will never say something negative to us. You know, and that got, I was thinking about that, and I said, it's not true. Because if I look in the Old Testament, you know, the prophets in the Old Testament, you know, those who only said the positive things were the false prophets. Those who brought God's word were often seen as the enemy to the king. So what does it say? God is also one that disciplines. The way God encourages me is also through discipline. So one of the positions, the Bible says it in Proverbs a few times in Hebrews, is just allowing God to walk a road of discipline. You see it in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. How does he lead me? He leads me with his staff. You know, so that speaks of correction and it speaks of leading. So God is a father that loves us, encourages us, but he encourages us through encouragement, positive encouragement, and through discipline. So one of the ways we're going to miss out God's drawing is we say, God, we will only come to you if you only encourages us positively. We must come to him in a sense naked. Say, God, I'm coming to you with all I am, and I'm allowing you to my life. Does that make sense this morning? Okay, then the last thing I want to share with us, I believe that's the most important thing. If you're here this morning and you're still starting to make sense of how does he draw you? Maybe you've never come to Christ. Maybe you've never been drawn to him. You know, one of the main ways that God draws us is through his cross. And that's what I want to finish with today. What does the cross of Christ mean to you? Does it mean anything? When you think of the crucifixion, when you think of what Jesus did on the cross, what does it mean to you? Maybe just spend 10 seconds. What does the cross mean to you? What does the cross mean to you? I call it here, drawn to the foot of the cross. John 12, verse 30 to 33 says, Jesus says, now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out, and I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he's going to die. The crucifixion is basically God drawing man to himself. God showing us. The Bible says he loves us so much that he sent his only son. And the greatest way he sent his son is to die for our sins. And how did he die for us? By becoming the anointed one, the unblemished sheep, the one that takes our place, the one that's anointed to take away the sin of the world. He died it. And how did he do it? He died it becoming sinless. Somebody that was innocent. In time, he came to earth as a human being. And he was hung on a cross, died a most excruciating death for our sakes. And then he was resurrected again on the third day. I don't know who of you have ever seen The Passion of Christ. It's a movie that's probably about 15 years old or something like that. And I think I was about saved about a year or two, and then we went to see this movie, and it's amazing. It's probably the most successful Christian movie that's in the secular, or was released in the secular at that time. I'm not sure if there's anything that surpassed it by now. And I remember sitting watching that movie, and I don't know if you remember the crucifixion scene. If you haven't seen it, please watch it. It's really, really amazingly done. I remember watching the crucifixion scene. I was like crying. I just cried the whole time. And at that time, I was crying wasn't part of my Christian virtues. So I was crying, and I was like sitting like this and crying. And I was looking around, and nobody else was crying in my row. And something hit my heart in that moment. I said, "How can this not shake people? How can that not have an effect to you? And if the cross doesn't stir your heart, then I want to beckon you today. Maybe you haven't realized the value of the cross yet. Maybe you have not come to a place where you understand what really happened. And it's something, maybe it's something that needs to be spiritually informed. The natural side of it, you can maybe argue away, say a lot of people have died for good causes. But if you realize what really happened there, where the eternal, holy, perfect one came to earth, loved me so much that he came off his holy place and became man, and he laid down his life for me because he loved me so much to draw me back to himself. You know, when that spiritual reality becomes my reality, then the cross means everything to me, then it's dear to me. Then I can hold on to him, and the band can come up. So I want to leave that with us today. And there's a lot of things that God uses to draw us to himself. And before we do great things for God out there, before we go out there and trust God for great exploits, and I really believe this is a year where God is calling us to great exploits, I believe it's important to just stand still for a second. And a second just to go back is, why has God called me? What has God called me to? And how can I habitually operate from that place where God has called me to himself? Called me to himself as well. You know, we shared it as well a few weeks ago about Israel. God calls them out of Egypt. Egypt, you know, our lives can be symbolically paralleled with Egypt. He calls them out of Egypt. He calls them out of sin and bondage. He calls them out of, delivers your life. Maybe you've been set free from stuff, you know, from addictions or from demonic things or whatever. You're set free from that. You've been set free from the world, etc. Go through the Red Sea, and then Promised Land. The first thing that Moses says to Pharaoh is, let my people go so that they come and worship me. So the first thing God is wanting to, he wants to deliver us so that we can come to him. That was the primary goal. The Promised Land was just a fruit of coming to worship him. And they didn't want to worship God in the desert, and they missed out on the Promised Land. They never came to God. Now, all of them wanted the Promised Land, but they never wanted to come to God, so they missed out. None of them... If you would ask me, didn't want the Promised Land. And often we make the Promised Land our God. But God is the God of the Promised Land. You cannot go into the Promised Land without our God. There's no separation. And God has got amazing promised lands for each one of us, you know, and for us corporately. But it's like Joshua says, I don't want to go unless you go before me. I don't want to go unless you lead me and I go with you. It's an important thing this morning is just to be drawn to him. I've had a video as well, but we're not going to play it because we run out of time. But I just feel God is just here this morning. And can we just all stand? And he's just here to draw us to himself. And the amazing thing is when we come to him, everything else fades away. You know, I can be in the worst season of my life. Things can get really, really difficult. But when I answer to his call, and the Bible says he's always calling, he's always drawing us to himself. And then the Bible says, draw near to me. Draw near to me. Come to me. That means his arms are always open. God wouldn't give us a promise like, come to me. Come to me, you are weary. He wouldn't die on the cross if he doesn't speak of an open door. The Bible says the veil was torn. I watched that part yesterday in The Passion of Christ as well. The veil was torn. What does it speaks about? It says, the way has been made clear to the Father. The way has been made clear. We don't have to go through a person anymore. Jesus paid the price. His blood made a way so that we can come to the Father so that we, when He calls, we can respond. Come as we are. Just come. Just come. Just receive what He has for us. Just respond to the call. So this morning, just where we are at, and just, this is this important time, so we can just all pray. If you're here this morning and you just feel the Lord is drawing you back to Him, maybe you've never come to Him. Maybe you've never received what He's done on the cross. Maybe you've come to Him in an intellectual way. Maybe you've come to Him for the promise or for the things, or you tried to behave well to belong to Him. He says, you must come to Me because I'm drawing you. Come on My merit. Come on My righteousness. Come on the basis of the cross. So He's in a sense saying to you, come to Me empty hands. If that's you this morning, you want to come to Him just as you are, on the basis of His righteousness, on the basis of what He has done, on the basis of His glory, His splendor, His beauty, on the basis of Him wanting to give you peace, Him wanting to exchange that which you have for what He has. If you want to do that this morning, I want to give you that opportunity. Just lift up your hand, and I would love to pray with you. That's you this morning. Just be bold. Just put up your hand and say, Jesus, I want to come. I sense You drawing. I sense You calling me to Yourself. Just put up your hand. Just be bold. Just be bold. Imagine the cross in front of you. I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward, but I want you to just imagine the cross before you. Just imagine the cross. Jesus hanging there. And the picture that I often have is sitting at a feet. Just sitting at the feet of the cross. And the Bible says at a few stages during the crucifixion, the whole process, that He looked Peter in the eyes, and we're all in a sense like Peter, like your eye contact of Jesus. And just imagine Him being on the cross, and just imagine making eye contact with Him. Just allow Him to define what it means. It's not something that we can explain. So you just want to respond. To say, Jesus, I want what You've done on the cross. I want to receive that. I don't necessarily know what it means, what You did on the cross. I know You died for my sins, but if you just want to respond to that, just say, Jesus, I want what You gave on the cross. If you just want to receive that, what He did there, what the Father did when He sent His Son, if that's you, just put up your hand. Just be bold. Maybe you're at a place where you just need to come back to that. You know, it's between you and Him this morning. You know, it's good for us to come back to that place often. You know, it's good for us to come back to a place you know, it's not just bowing on you, the cross. It's saying, God, I acknowledge the cross. I acknowledge it's enough. That's sufficient. It's been a sufficient price. It's enough for me to live. It's enough for me to thrive. It's enough for me to have a relationship with You. You've torn the veil. You've made a way. You have become my Father. I am not an orphan anymore. Because Jesus paid a price. Jesus paid a price. He became my portion and my cup. He became the recompense for my sins. He became a curse. He was cursed on the cross. He died a heavy death. He died a violent death so that I can have life in abundance. So my life can be hidden in Christ. That's what God is saying this morning. That's enough. That's how much I love You. That cross is the way to Me. If you believe that that happened and that Jesus rose again on the third day, then you will also have eternal life. And you will be with Him in that perfect place. That thing in your heart that cries out for perfection, that thing you're drawn to, that's the way to get there. It's through the cross. to receiving what he's done and giving your life to the one that did it. So Father, I thank you for every hand raised, Lord. Thank you that you will meet with them in that place. I believe you're not meeting with us so that we can go somewhere. You want to meet with us at the cross. And thank you that we can dwell there. We can stand in that place. Father, that is the vantage point from which we can see life. It's from that hilltop that life makes sense. It's through the cross. It's not by our eyes, but it's through the eyes of Christ. Through the eyes of the cross that we can see life clearly. So you can see accurately, Lord. I just feel God wants to open some eyes this morning. Father, I thank you for those eyes to open, Lord, to see. Those eyes to comprehend. God has not allowed your life circumstances to go unattended. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to redeem your life. To make sense of your life. To make it beautiful. To restore all things. You've been drawn to the Father so that you can be a co-heir of Christ. The Bible says we are seated of Christ in heavenly places. Through the cross, we've got access to the Father. We are seated with Him. We are nobility. Not of what we have done, but because of what He has done. And therefore, all things can become subject. We're going to speak about it next week. You know, what's the next step? But this is the foundation of it all. And it always remains the foundation. Being drawn back to the cross. If the cross starts losing meaning to you, stop what you're doing. Let go of this stuff. Come back to the cross. Father, we come back to the cross this morning. Thank you that you've drawn us. Drawn us through the beautiful things that you've made and to your glory. And to all of those things, our hearts says we want more. But the most beautiful thing of all time is the cross. In its violent nature. And what has happened there is actually the most beautiful thing, because it displays your love, Lord. Your jealous love, your sacrificial love, the love that surpasses all things. It's the definition of love. We thank you for that this morning. I thank you for every person here, Father, that's coming, Lord. Thank you that you will take them to new places, Lord. You will show them great and mighty things about yourself. And to get over the cross, you will take them to greater things, Lord. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Since somebody's here, if your heart is anxious, and I just feel God just wants to remedy that this morning. You know, it's not something that's just suddenly sometimes happening. It's happening. You're in an anxious state all the time. And just every eye closed, just lift your hand if you're in that place. God wants to come and heal your heart. He wants to do what the cross has done in your heart. Father, I pray for those hearts now. I prophesy to them peace. I prophesy to them beauty, Lord. Thank you that they will not hold on to the things. Father, I just see these strings, Father, these ropes, Father, trying to tie them down, Lord. And we just say, loosen in Jesus' name. We say, liberty now. Christ has came to set them free. The cross, we declare the power of the resurrected Christ. We declare that the cross has availed much. And through the power of the cross, through what Jesus has gone through, they have been released from the curse. The curse of fear and the curse of stressing about stuff, Lord. I'm thinking now for liberty. Thinking now as well for strength. I just feel that is stealing strength as well. God, you've come to give us strength to run. Father, your word says in Psalm 103, Father, you've come to lift us up on eagle's wings. And I declare now, Father, we will not just have small visions, small goals for you, Lord, but we will run and not grow weary. Our hearts will not hold us back. Our hearts will not be captive in distress. We declare that this morning. If that's you, just say thank you to the Lord. Just say thank you, Lord, for that freedom. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name.